Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, we have a special guest, the beautiful Gina, with us today in the studio. How are you?
I'm amazing.
Good. We were chatting before this already, so we were kind of already in the groove of things. But we always, okay, this is so weird. We're like adults. We're 24 and 27 years old, and I feel 26. Weird. 26, sorry. I feel almost weird like talking about this, not in like, it's weird, but just because uncomfortable. Because I feel like people make you feel uncomfortable when you even say the word like sex or sexual. They think of like, oh my God, like what are you even talking
That's
about?
That's why I kind of stuttered when I was like sexuality. Yeah. But anyways, we'll get to that. So that's why we're like, hey, let's have an expert on, somebody who, you know, you openly talk about these sorts of things and you're a coach. So we can really like get and dive deep into it. So Gina, we want you to introduce yourself, kind of like, what's your mission as a sex and intimacy coach and all of that? Your story, how you got to being a coach, and kind of who you are as a whole.
Yeah, well, thank you. We're going to say the word sex and sexuality, sensuality, just to break the ice.
Yeah.
It totally makes sense that it can feel uncomfortable because these are conversations we did not have growing up in school, which is a part of my story as well. But I'll just share. So I'm Gina Marie. Hi.
Gina Maria.
Gina Marie, whatever. No, you can call me whatever. But G. Gina Marie. not whatever. Gina or Gina Marie. Yeah. I'm a sex and intimacy coach. I'm a certified like VITA coach in sex, love, and relationships. But I'm also like my majored in female sexuality and conscious dating. So this is like, you know, a big part of my heart. My mission is to help high achieving women reconnect to their sexuality, come home to themselves, and thrive in sex, love, and relationships. And you know, this work has like sits on top of many, many years of working as a mental health clinician. So I worked as an occupational therapist for many years, and I also practiced psychotherapy and worked in trauma.
Okay.
And so I bring like a trauma-informed lens to my work because there's a lot of like trauma and negativity like wrapped up in sexuality for so many people. And also my work is like somatic based. So it's like incorporating not just talk coaching in the mind, but also the body. And like where we hold things, where we feel energy, pain and discomfort, but also like the good feelings and good sensations. Mm-hmm. So working that into the transformation in people's journeys. And then also VITA is a coaching method that is inspired by Tantra. So I incorporate that into my work.
Okay.
As well.
And what's Tantra?
Yeah, and I was going to say, I'm like not familiar with that at all.
For sure. Like, I mean, the very like simple, like quick laser description is Tantra is like a path of liberation. It's originally actually like a religion. But Tantra is like the philosophy is that everything is one. Everything has consciousness in it. So it's one of those like paths to enlightenment that doesn't reject the body. And doesn't reject sexuality. And there's many like there's different branches of Tantra, which we could go into, and that's a whole other podcast on its own.
It's so layered, right?
And my work is Tantra inspired. I wouldn't refer to myself as like a tantric priestess or a tantrika because I haven't been initiated into that lineage. But my teacher, Layla Martin, has like shared with us so many amazing tools that help us like heal through the body and through the breath. Breath, sound, and movement are like the basis of like the tantric understanding when it comes to healing and healing within our sexuality. So we can totally get into that. I feel like we'll move into that. But that's Tantra. Yeah. Wow. And a little bit about my bio. I feel like I left out a bunch of things. I still like a lot of other things. We're just going to focus on sex.
Okay. So before we get into like more of those types of topics, a lot of what we talk about on the podcast or like to touch on when it comes to guests and people coming on from different career paths and things like that is how you got to where you are, because like we like to dive deep into how'd you get from A to B. Like if someone's like watching this and they're like, I want to do that, how do they get there? And I know it's going to be different than how you got there, but can you, if you feel comfortable, diving into a little more of your background of how did you know like this is the path that you wanted to take?
It starts pretty early.
Okay.
So, like I said, I'm a little bit long-winded, but it's a really beautiful part of the my journey. So, trigger warning, sexual abuse, sexual trauma. So I remember from like a very, very young age, like before I was five, I was always like fantasizing and like bliss. And I was like, wow, I'm so amazing. Like when I was like visualizing myself and daydreaming, I was like the queen and everyone loved me. And it was just like I was so in like this pleasure bliss state a lot of the times. And really that is like our original essence, like before the world came in and traumatized us or we had like conditioning or negative things happen to us. So I just wanted to like highlight that. And then when I was about 5 to 6 years old, I was actually sexually abused by an older family member who I, before that time and before that rupture, I really loved and trusted. And that actually like, you know, was a trauma. And my parents did the best they could to like protect me and distance me from that person. But then I had this like confusion around like pleasure and sexuality. And although like, you know, before this incident, I remember like my earliest memories were like realizing that it felt really good to masturbate before I knew what it was. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And then my mom walked in on me and like spanked me with a slipper, like total Filipino mom vibes. And I was like, oh my God, okay, so this feels good, but it's so terrible.
That's bad, yeah.
And then I also, with the sexual abuse, like, you know, I was so confused because this was someone that I trusted, but then I just felt like there was something that was being like that was being taken away from me. And I remember when it came out and I shared with my parents, I was really, really sad and I cried and there was all this shame. Mm-hmm. So like from an early age, I've had this like curiosity about sex and pleasure and love and ecstasy. But then I also had this trauma that created a lot of like confusion and shame. Right. And then, you know, I actually wrote about this today in a post, but it's like I grew up at least in a very like sex negative or like sex absent environment. It was like, let's not talk about sex. Right. Like even we were talking just now where I was like saying the word sex feels like
taboo.
Yeah, right. Like, you can feel it like weird
awkward,
in your body.
Like, like very private thing.
Yes.
You can't even. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not even talk about it. Even it's like, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
Like, that's why we're here. Those two people had sex and here we are.
True.
So back on track is that was like a big part of my early like life was trying to like figure it out, but fucking shit up at the same time. I was like, I became curious in having relationships and in boys and sex. And I was like, you know, excited by it, but also was like something was very like shameful and still like unprocessed within me. Sex education taught us like nothing about pleasure or consent.
Very
so that's
true.
Just one thing. Mm-hmm. And like long story short, I got into relationships, went to university, and I decided to study kinesiology. It was like the study of human movement. And I knew I was going to go into healthcare and help people. I just didn't really know exactly what. I was like, maybe I'll be a doctor. And I was like, oh, too much school.
Yeah.
Way too much money. And somewhere along there, I did kind of find my path. But before then, Sue Johansson, like Sex with Sue. I don't know if you remember. It was like a show in like the 80s or 90s. You remember?
Yeah.
There's a documentary about her out actually now. It's really great. And so she was like a sex educator and she would go to campuses and educate. She also had a, like I said, a TV show. So she's pretty famous. Hmm. And so when she came to our campus, just a light bulb like went on. I was like, what? This is a profession? Educating people about sex. I was like, okay, I'm going to be a sex therapist. I just got that in my mind because I was like, oh, it incorporates all the things that I've just been yearning for is like understanding sex and helping people and, you know, transforming people's lives and also like really just transforming my own. You know, of course, that didn't happen until recently getting into sex coaching, but I became an OT. It was all about helping people engage with meaningful occupations. I worked in mental health for my whole career. My first preceptor, it turns out she was an OT, a psychotherapist, and a sex therapist. So I was like, ding, ding, ding. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until, in 2019, I applied and got into the Vita coaching program. And it was just like a true, true calling. And it was sex coaching. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to go back and become a therapist again.
Right.
And I had already done some coaching before, more like general life coaching, and that had been like pretty successful, but it was on the side of me working at my other job where I worked at a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But the beautiful thing about coaching and why I decided to go that route is that it's really about like taking people as far as you have gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And coaching, there's just more flexibility to really share your story.
Yeah.
And for me, it's all about the story. Mm-hmm. It's all about where I've been. And I've told you a little bit about the early part of my life, but like there is the part in my, you know, late 20s phase where I went through a really crazy breakup at the same time of being in a car accident and breaking my spine.
Holy wow. shit.
My lower back. So I actually couldn't even feel pleasure for months. Yeah, I couldn't have sex either. I kept on asking my orthopedic surgeon. I was like, when can I have sex? And he's like, why are you asking? I'm like, well, why wouldn't I? Right? I was like, I'm so depressed. And
holy crap.
And so I was healing from this heartbreak. It was an abusive relationship. If I didn't already say that. Mm-hmm. And this physical injury. And that's when I was really realizing where there was real gaps in my self-love and my relational patterns. And then, after being in that relationship and previously in relationships back to back for 15 years, I was like, maybe I should be single. So then I went on the other side. I was hypersexual because I was actually using sex to distance myself from true intimacy because I was so heartbroken from being in love and how it turned out so traumatic.
Yeah.
And then, that was in 2015. And then it was 20, I started to shift my perspective on sexuality and my worthiness and my body by reading more books about sacred sexuality and tantra. And I found Layla Martin and started learning from her. And then I signed up for her program. And then here I am doing the thing. And I've been doing it for the last few years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, congrats on that journey. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it just to sum that all up, it kind of seems like you really, especially towards now your coaching, are following truly what you desired. You felt there was something and you kept going after it. I don't know how to explain it.
Like your calling
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel about podcasting in this type of world. I never even went to school for this sort of shit. And it's you're just following it and kind of tapping into what that could be. So that seems what you did, which is great advice, you know?
Yeah. Great. Thank you. And thank you for seeing that. It was following the pings. It's sometimes you don't even know.
It's what breadcrumbs. The universe is leaving you breadcrumbs and you're oh.
Yeah. There's so many twists and turns in my journey, but now I'm here and I was working full time at another, as an OT and as a therapist. And I recently just went out on my, well, not that recently, it was several months ago, but in last year. Went out on my own and and this is what I do.
So yeah. I know this isn't
for people who are wanting to quit their jobs and stuff.
I was just going to say how, again, not really related to any of this, but I'm interested, how has that been for you in terms of the shift between, I guess, that security that you still kind of had with having I don't want to call it a job, this is still a job, but that and now just being fully entrepreneurial on your own.
So to add to that, did you care at first what people thought, your family, your friends?
Yes. Okay, so this is great. I also this is very fresh in my mind only because I just literally posted about this earlier on my Instagram.
I saw that today.
Where I've always loved talking about sex, but I never really put it online. And then when I was studying and then started coaching, I had a fear of being more visible. Because I was like, oh, what am I colleagues going to think? And then I'm like, I honestly feel like my parents are just happy now that I'm happy. But I was also what about my Filipina aunties and uncles? And my other, my dad's side of the family, they're Canadian. I was they're, but then I was what the, who cares?
Yeah.
Do I really care? I'm doing what I love. But there was also this shame that I was still caring about my own sexuality and feeling there was just something maybe wrong with being out and talking about it and having a little bit of fear that if I put this out there, I might be seen or treated in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And then I've shifted it completely because I'm now seeing this as sex coaching is literally healthcare. Okay. It's kind of how mental health has shifted. Before I was oh my God, I'm seeing a shrink. Now it's oh my God, if you don't have a therapist, I'm not going to date you.
Yeah,
so true.
It's come on. And so now, when I was talking about how sex education growing up was so awful, it's I feel I'm now helping creating a space for people to heal, connect deeper to themselves, and have the sex education that we need, which is really about safety, pleasure, consent. And so, there was I had to get myself to that place where I was okay, this is okay. And I know there was a conversation you mentioned about security. That was also a big thing because, my conditioning around job security and like what I should be doing right. and what's like acceptable is like get a job and have the benefits. And I was like, okay, well, I had a job and I had the benefits for 12 years. I think maybe it's time to try.
Yeah.
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 And it was great. And I'm so grateful for it, honestly, especially when I was not working. I had a job that like supported me during that. And I've had a lot of injuries and illnesses come up. And so I'm so grateful. I'm not saying like having a job is terrible, but I think at a point it was limiting my creativity mm-hmm. and also the obligation to work like a certain amount of hours for someone was also just I kept on having health issues actually. Like my body was like you don't want to do this.
Like rejecting that yeah. like yeah. daily routine.
Exactly.
That's super interesting.
So then I was like, okay, so all things are pointing to you just gotta go be a full-time sex coach and yeah. do the thing and be creative. And now it's actually opened up so much more space like in my nervous system to do the work. Mm. And I love studying. Like I'm keep on doing more courses.
No, well, that's great. I like yeah, that. Yeah.
I'm in the program again, my coaching program as like a part of the team. So I'm like getting all the transmissions from all the teachers and doing the content again. And then I'm also taking a course. I'm not going to talk about, oh my God. Okay. I'll just keep it at one course, but I'm taking a course on the science of pleasure.
Okay.
So now like, because I'm just doing my like private work, sex coaching, and then I also have a small private practice in psychotherapy, I have so much more space to learn mm-hmm. and like actually do my practices and have like a routine that like is built around what and, I like.
Yeah. And applying good. Like what you're learning to, like, yeah. to everything that you're doing, which is great.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Exactly.
There's just like so many like sub-things.
I know.
From that, but, yeah. Okay. Let's get into some of the things that like we specifically, have some questions about. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So you talk about how embracing our sexuality and sexual mm-hmm. side can contribute to healing. So how I want to like kind of learn more about that, like how that can affect your body in like positive ways once you've kind of healed, I guess, your sexuality, like your sexual side or embracing your sexuality. Because again, like you touched upon it too, how someone can watch, we've gotten haters on our videos recently, and somebody can watch and be like, oh my God, you SLUTs talking about like sex and it's negative in a negative connotation. Like that word's thrown around recently, just like all the time. Like it can be mm-hmm. anything a woman or man does that you're called something like that in a negative way. And so again, people like me or Sam might feel kind of like restricted to talk about it or ourselves or our experiences because we're like, what are people going to think? Mm-hmm. So how can that contribute, I guess, like overall healing in your body, like you said, physically as well as emotionally and like mentally.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful question. Well, first.
Sorry, that was a loaded question, but
so where do we start here? Okay. Well, first, let's start with when we embrace our whole selves, including everything that makes us, which is our sexuality, it is a part of us. Like, you know, we are like sexual from the morning, like from the morning, from like the moment, morning from night. The morning to night, every day, all day. No, like from the moment we are in the world, mm-hmm. really. Like we have genitals and we have energy that moves between us, right? And again, like I said, the reason why we're here was because someone, well, most of the time, yeah. You know, there was a union between mm-hmm. two souls and two bodies, right? So when we embrace all of who we are, we heal and we become more whole. Right?
Right.
And a thing around sexuality is that it's been so repressed and shamed, as you've, like, you know, already very pointedly pointed out that people have been like, you SLUTs for yeah. saying the word sex. It's a conditioning in society that sex is shameful. And it's, I believe, is incorrect because sex is something that is beautiful. It's something that is pleasurable. And pleasure really is our birthright. So when we reclaim it, we're healing a part of ourselves. And I'll talk about like shadow work. It's like when we repress something into the shadows, it means we've rejected it because in some way we needed to push that part of us aside in order to belong, in order to That's be safe. So my example is like, you know, when my mom walked in on me like touching my vagina and I was like 4 or 5 and she ran in with a, you know, a slipper. I remember it. I was like, I think she was wearing red, like actually this color. Oh my God. And she had like her yellow Filipino mom slipper. And she just raged at me. And I remember being like, that like locked into my body as a fear of being like seen as sexual, fear as a fear of being caught. And so that became like a part of me that like I repressed as something that was bad, but it's innocent.
Yeah.
It's literally innocent. Mm-hmm. And what happens is like we get these messages often from, okay, I'm feeling a little bit like historical
We love that.
You know, when the rise of patriarchy and like organized religion, not that like religion or faith is bad, it's just more like the systems around it, you know, repressed, I'll talk about women's sexuality, because that's my viewpoint, but I just want to recognize my privilege as a cisgender woman. And that also, like when I talk about repression of women, there is also for like the LGBT and gender nonconforming folks, the trauma and like the repression on their sexuality is also like amplified. So I just want to like highlight that. But yes, repressing women's sexuality to just be for like reproduction and for like a man's pleasure, like only be sexual for your husband, was limiting our female power. Because when women and the Naomi Wolf in her amazing book Vagina, highly recommend everyone to go run Vagina.
Okay.
Run. And there's a little subtext, but like you'll just Vagina, look it up, it'll come find it. Like when women are sexually awakened and alive and truly connected to their sensuality, we are more creative, innovative, and powerful. So it was in the patriarchy's best interest to actually, if they wanted to hold power, is to actually repress women's sexuality.
That's interesting.
Right? So yeah, when we're when we connect back with our sexuality, we are like, we're healing for our lineage, and we're healing this collective fracture that disconnected us from the truth of who we are.
I want to share something. I won't get too into it, but, and again, this is about like you and your expertise, but I like, you just like kind of tapped into something that I've been thinking about recently. So I've been going through some like just like my own shit recently, whatever, in my personal life. And it's been kind of like tough. But at the same time that I've been going through this shit, I've been starting to practice yoga, like actually practice yoga. Like I used to do it like whatever here and there, but like actually really start doing it, like hot yoga. And I've been doing it for like the last 3 months, like 4 times a week. And I know this seems like it doesn't have anything to do with sexuality,
it
but
has it, everything to do with it.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Because when you said
keep
that,
going.
So despite like, despite everything that I've been kind of going through and the thoughts that, the bad thoughts that kind of have been coming up, I feel like since I've been doing this yoga practice and like coming to the mat and at least committing to doing that, I felt like more calm in what's happening around me. And again, without getting too far into it. And I think it's because like I'm actually like embracing my body in a way that like I wouldn't usually. Like I'm very into fitness and weightlifting, whatever, but like I don't consciously think about my body and like myself when I'm weightlifting. And through like yoga practice recently, like they make you do these like moves that are very like, they seem like very like sensual, and like they're like, they're like just go in tabletop and just like wiggle your butt around. And at first I was like, what the hell is this? But recently it's been like really helping me. And the other day, I literally remember when I told you I like started tearing up in yoga. It was so weird to me. It was weird. I know it's like not like weird, but to me it was like, oh my god, why am I tearing up? But she was like speaking, and she told us to like just like open our body up and like butterfly your legs and like put your I don't know why I started like getting emotional, and I was like, why am I getting emotional? And then when I left, I just felt so just like clear and almost like healed.
Yeah.
Like speaking up of how this relates. But I don't know.
I love it.
That's the first thing that came to mind when you started talking about that. And I don't know if you can kind of connect it.
But, totally. Yeah. I also just want to make sure, I want to talk a little bit about like slut shaming.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of go back to that.
We'll
but this is amazing. Well, first of all, yoga, like tantra yoga was the first yoga.
Okay.
So just like FYI, there's something there. And also, I happen to be a yoga instructor as well.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yoga, oh my guru Alex will like not be mad at me if I get this wrong, but like yoga, the practice of yoga actually like it heals and softens the samskaras. Samskaras? Yeah. Which are like traumas that occur in the body that create these like grooves. So when you're actually moving your body, you're releasing energy, stagnant energy, trauma, negativity. And that's actually part, when I talk about like healing and practices to heal the body and heal our sexuality, it's like it's allowing your body to go slow, to move, to tap into the senses, to be in presence. That's what's healing, right?
Yeah.
We don't heal, you know, our sexuality through just like thinking about it. Like it's actually getting into the body, and yoga is beautiful for that.
Yeah.
And the butterfly, when you had your legs in like the butterfly, and if you were like moving them around or like kind of
moving them. Yes, exactly. And like my hands are kind of like out.
Yeah. So that is, it's a trauma release practice. That's a part of that, you know, we were guided in, and I guide other people in coaching as well, because it can release tension that's in the hips, and our hips is like a center, like our hips and our womb, right? Is where we hold a lot of tension and trauma, but it's also the center of our sexuality center. Yeah. So if you have like negative experiences with sex, or just like even if you just heard negative things about women's bodies and about sexuality, it's just got locked into our nervous system, into our mind and our body, doing a release practice like that can actually allow it to be moved through. And like you let go. Did you feel lighter? You said you felt like so good.
I felt like just, I was like tearing up, and it was, I don't know. I just felt lighter. And like when I left my whole day, even though there was shit coming at me that day, I remember I was like, fuck. But I just felt like I could deal with it more, because like I felt more connected to myself. Yes. It was just weird. It was a weird experience for me, but I liked it. And yeah.
I love it. So, yes. Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, I just wanted to touch on that because I feel like it really related.
Everyone's going to go out to do yoga now. Everyone's going to go out. Yeah. Everyone listening is going to go do yoga now. This is amazing.
You need to do it.
I know.
I'm
going to sign up though.
You said you wanted to touch on slut shaming.
Yeah. Well, about like the taboo and sometimes like people seeing and people embracing their sexuality as like, you know, weird or like, ah. And I just wanted to speak a little bit more around how, again, like the conditioning in society is that like sex is shameful or, you know, yada, yada, yada. Right. Or like if you're sexual, you're, you know, slutty. Yep. But if you're confident in your sexuality, like, according to the patriarchal standards, it's dangerous. It's like, oh, someone is awakened. They actually have more power. The other thing is when someone has that like big, beautiful energy and is embodied in their sexuality, it can be really triggered for people who repress their own sexuality. So I just want to make that distinction that it's not like, you know, like it's a, you know, us versus them. It's actually like we're all kind of traumatized, and we all need to be looking at like how and where we can heal what we've like, you know, dismissed and disowned within ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. I actually just want to speak to like my mom. Love you, mom. She's probably not going to listen to this, but like, she'll be like, my mom, she'll be like, my daughter was on a podcast. Like, you know, she moved to, like, she's from, okay, the Philippines is like a bit of a conservative place.
Right.
And she grew up in Canada really without her mom, without like much like sexual education. And I know like whenever I asked my mom about sex when I was little, she's like, I only had sex with your dad to have you guys. And I was like, that sounds freaking awful. So when I think back at that time where she saw me and ran and like, you know, spanked me because I was like touching myself and pleasuring myself, I have so much compassion for her because she's repressed her sexuality.
Yeah.
So it's like that was triggering for her because she was uncomfortable in her own skin, in her own sensuality. Now, my mom has evolved since then, and now she's like, she like wants to like, you know, dress up more, and she got a bunch of tattoos. And I think she wants to like, she was saying she wants to get breast
enhancement. You're like inspiring her with your work.
Yeah, but she deserves it. She's had three kids, but like now she's in her 50s, and I think she's like, you know, blossoming. And I'm like, oh my God, my mom, because I could see where she was limited.
Yeah.
And like we have in this generation have so much more privilege of like healing our connection to our sexuality, fucking the whole like, oh, can I swear?
Yeah.
Okay. Like fuck slut shamey. Like I'm taking back the word, like the term slut, you know, reclaiming it. Because our parents, many of them just didn't have that opportunity.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of the show Sex Slave. Have you watched that?
No. Okay, surprisingly not.
The girl, I forget her name now. Billy, this like girl was really, she was very sexual. She like loved having sex, and the mom was like shaming her like hard. Then there's this one scene where the mom broke down, was like, I was like you when I was younger, but you know, back then it was like, you get the ruler to the hand, like, what are you doing? So that makes so much sense that you've said that in like that kind of way. And I also feel like, relating back to slut shaming, like a lot of it has to do with, again, growing up too, and like that kind of notion where women shouldn't have a certain amount of partners or shouldn't have as much as many as men, I guess. You know what I mean? So it kind of is all related in a way.
I remember like even like high school was so, I don't want to say traumatic.
It is triggering.
Like, it's not traumatic. It's triggering because like you think of like, I remember in high school, like not like me like hooking up with someone and not wanting anybody to ever find out. Because even though I genuinely wanted to in that moment, like, I don't know why I'm like bringing it back to high school, but anyways, I wanted to in that moment. And like, then you'd be scared shitless the next day. You're like, oh my God, people are going to find out and I'm going to be called a slut. Like, I don't want that. And you used to like hide it. So it's like, you grow up with that feeling and it's amazing what you're doing to help people release that.
Well, yes. And thank you. And thank you for sharing that and being vulnerable, because so many people have experiences like that. That in itself is, it can call it, you can call it a trauma. I know there's like trauma is really like a
spectrum, right?
Yeah, it's a spectrum, but it's even having like negative stories and negative experiences about sex cut us off from feeling the fullness of our pleasure. Mm. It's actually like, there's scientific studies as well about this, that for women who have like experienced pain during sex, there's like, you know, a series of like different diagnoses. But one of the things that's highly correlated with that experience is having a negative sexual narrative. Mm-hmm. So if you've actually had like negative experiences with sex, as well as negative stories told to you about sex, you actually are like more tense in your vagina, and it's harder for you to relax, and you might actually have more pain. Like, not that's like, that's not for everybody, but for people who do have that experience, that is a huge link.
That's interesting.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into the whole, this is like a huge, I can have like a whole episode on like the femininity and masculinity thing, but okay. So we talked a little bit about this on the last podcast, like our last episode, but I didn't feel like well-informed enough to kind of speak on it. And I felt like I didn't want to start confusing terms, and I don't know, I didn't want to be too touchy, but tapping into like femininity and womanhood, I feel like there's a bit of like, I don't want to say confusion, but like it's hard in society nowadays to really like tap into like your feminine side, like everyone telling you kind of like what a woman is and how a woman should act and what you should do. And we were talking last week about how like, for me, at least, I don't want to speak for her, a lot of my life, or just like even now, like I feel like I always have to be hard and like really logical and like, oh, I can make my own money and I can do this. And just like very like not soft. And then since this whole like yoga journey and just even like in general recently, I want to kind of be more soft. And I know that sounds weird. Like to me, that sounds weird saying, but does that have anything to do with like the yearning to tap into femininity? And like, how does that work?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Again, sorry, I'm
No, it's beautiful. Everything is super clear. We're totally on it.
Okay.
Like, yeah. So sometimes I also like to see masculine and feminine, like using different terms.
Yeah.
It's like the yin and the yang.
Okay.
Right? Feminine is the yin, yang is masculine.
Okay.
And like the yin is like going slow, receiving, being magnetic, having rest, being creative, and like feeling, like being in the body. Whereas the yang or the masculine is like being in the mind, being logical, taking action, giving, you know, protecting. Whereas like the yin is like kind of presence and nurturing. And it's just like the opposite, right? That's polarity. So you need to have both. And I think, you know, something, you know, has been probably already talked about is that inside of all of us, we have both the yin and the yang.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just whether or not we are balanced in those. And that also depends, and how balanced we are and how what our expression of these depends on our conditioning and our environment. And I think a lot of us have grown up in a society where it's glorified, like being busy, being like very mental, being focused on achievement and goals, rather than like having that other balance of the yin, which is like moving slow and having rest. And like, that's actually what nurtures and gives like fuel and energy to taking action, is actually being on the other side. Sometimes we need to have both. And you know, when it comes to like women in relationships, because I know like polarity teachings are really popular on online right now. And I like to take it from a different perspective with my clients. But like women have been, many of us have been like conditioned to be in that like go, 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 like giving role. Bitch, but actually like the yin essence is to receive. And so that's why so many of us are, it's hard for us to like receive love or like receive help, because we have to be like, we can do it ourselves.
Yeah.
And, like, we can think our way through it. Again, with like your yoga practice, like how good it felt to be like in your body, yeah, and how like you were in your feelings and you were releasing. That's like a part of that yin essence. So the more that you do things like that, the mm-hmm. more you're tapping into your feminine, your yin energy. So it can be as simple as that as well. Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. Like I think about it when I think about like tapping into that like yearning. I'm like, how do I do this? And again, it's almost that like, I guess.
Stop thinking.
Yeah, exactly. And she's like, how do I do this? But like feeling that and like tapping into that mm-hmm. like whole yoga journey, it's slow, right? And like, I'm not yeah. used to that. Like, I'm always like, let me like lift yeah. some weights, hurry up. Like let's get these sets in. And I don't know, it's a really good example. So.
I know. I think for me, I was saying the last episode, I was saying when I was younger, like kind of like you, I was very imaginative and very like, oh my God, like I love everybody. I want to help. I was more like, I'm a helper. So mm-hmm. I want to nurture. I'm very sympathetic. Like I was always helping animals. I saw like a little cat with a broken leg. I want to like help it kind mm-hmm. of thing. And I was touching upon the last episode as I've gotten older, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but like experiences have kind of made me shelter to that side of myself yeah. where it's either heartbreak or I felt kind of like I need to protect myself or whatever the case may be. So now I find that I have more of masculine traits. Like, for example, I need to plan everything for me needs to be planned. Whether it's my date nights, I need to plan it. Like, I don't really let my boyfriend plan anything. So I'm like, no, it needs to be done this way or that way. Very kind of like, not controlling, but kind of, I like my things the way I like them, kind of, I guess. Controlling.
Yeah,
a little controlling. But I think like how you mentioned, it's because you go through things that have mm-hmm. made me at least kind of shut off that part of myself. But when I'm in, I volunteer at like a dog shelter, but when I'm there or like in nature, I can like literally feel myself blossoming into, yeah, it's yeah. like a sigh. Okay. It's like, oh my God, I can like put my shoulders down, unclench my jaw and just like relax. So I think environment too is like a huge part of it.
Yeah. And literally nature.
Yeah.
Like being nature. In nature is also a part of like getting connected to sensuality, because sensuality is really just tapping into the senses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is again, a feminine quality. Like sensual is like the yin and like the mental is the yang. And so I think that's beautiful that you have that space. And also if I can ask a question, what would it be like for you to let your boyfriend plan a date?
What would it be?
He definitely can. Like it's more me like being like, okay, you're going to plan something. Like, when are you going to do it? Like, what time is going to be at kind of thing. So mm-hmm. I feel like it makes him kind of more like, okay, I'm going to try. Cause it's like, you're going to be on my ass anyways, about like timing. When is it, what I got to wear kind of thing. But I would like him to plan a date.
Yeah. Yeah. Explore that. And,
yeah.
And also just speaking to like heartbreak and things that have come up, when those things happen to us, we'll have like mechanisms and coping strategies come into play, like control or like kind of closing our heart to being yeah. like vulnerable and emotional because we want to protect ourselves. All that has a purpose. Mm. Like one of the reasons why, you know, I got so focused on achievement was because I felt like I needed to do that in order to survive. And so we have to like, part of this healing journey is like loving all of the parts of us that have shown up to just keep us going. But then also giving some space to try something new, right? To allow yourself to receive. Also just noticing like, okay, well, you know, some stuff got put into my nervous system, patterns and behaviors and choices and things like that. Again, because of a wound. I just want to quickly talk about like relationships and sex.
Yes,
it's like
yes.
I was, you know, when I didn't or when I broke up with my ex, who was abusive, and I had the car accident, and then mm-hmm. I spoke about like just going on the other end where I was just all about like sex.
Right.
Like that was me being like, I'm liberated in my sexuality. Mm. But it really wasn't integrated because I had kind of swung all the way to like the unhealthy yang, unhealthy masculine. I was just like very directive. Like I was like a predator, like going after my prey rather than like playing that dance of like, you know, being in my healthy feminine and being more of like a seductress and allowing myself to receive and allowing myself to actually connect with someone from the heart. I was very closed off. And that was put into place to protect me from being close to someone. I know I'm like repeating the story, but it was like my masculine was unhealthy in the sense that I was like, I was so, like, logical and about, like, the chase and about the hunt and about getting, like, sort of being in, like, this penetrative energy rather than receiving and being soft and being in my heart and wanting connection because I was scared. And so that was, you know, it served me until I realized it was just not, like, healthy. And then I, you know, I wanted to kind of change that space and be more in my feminine, which was actually more around being slow and sensual and taking my time and actually really seeing, like, my body as, like, as sacred and being open for emotional and, like, spiritual connection, because a part of sexual healing first is, like, first and foremost is healing the relationship and the narrative around your own sexuality, releasing, like, negative energy around your genitals and everything like that through the body. But then also then sharing that wholeness with another person and sex with another person. It's not just like exchanging bodily fluids and, like, you know, penis and vagina thing, right? It's actually truly becoming, like, one with another person. And, like, sex, like, really amazing, like, sex is like a non-ordinary state of consciousness, like being on a psychedelic. It's like, you know, these, like, beautiful, expansive experiences that can be very healing. But that's only when you really see sexuality as sacred. And if I can just talk about healing for one more second. It's like when I actually started to have connected sex with others, now my partner, I would, like, there would be times I'd have an orgasm and I would just cry after because I was like, oh my God, I finally feel safe. I finally feel safe to open up my heart, that it's not this, like, performative action. Right? It's actually an exchange of energy between two people with the intention of, like, connection and healing. And so I was just, like, releasing all this, like, grief and sadness from, like, orgasms. Now I'm not crying as much. Things are good.
No, but it's like literally sex, the act of sex contributing to your healing and your trauma. Which is
And you don't see that often in, like, the media, for example, like movies and porn. Like, it's very, like, performative. It's
definitely not.
Like, extreme. No, but you know what I mean? Even in movies, TV shows, it's very performative. So you feel like, okay, that's what it's supposed to look like. Yeah. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what it is, right? But it isn't that at all. No. So.
Yeah, and part of the healing journey, you know, in the feminine and for the masculine is, like, decoupling sex from just, like, sex.
Yeah,
just like, and from fantasy and from porn. And there's nothing, like, porn is a whole other podcast too. But, like, when your only sex education is, like, someone else's fantasy that is so, like,
narrow
and it doesn't encompass, like, the vast beauty that, like, sexuality can be.
Yeah.
It then becomes, like, that's also a part of, like, the trauma of, and so when I'm working with clients to, like, build a self-pleasure practice, it's, like, actually taking it out of, like, porn and going slow and, like, not focusing on just, like, you know, chasing the orgasm, but, like, being with the whole experience and decoupling it again from, like, old narratives that don't even belong to you, right? It's, like, connecting to the sensation, the energy, pleasure, and expanding it throughout the whole body. Because I'll just speak for women. It's like, for me anyway, I was like, me and my Hitachi wand have been in a long-term relationship for a really long time, longer than any other relationship. Okay, this is my vibrator.
Yes,
magic wand, Hitachi wand. It's also like it's advertised as like a back massager. It's so hilarious.
I've seen that. Really?
But that was like my only mode of self-pleasure for so long, and it was so focused on clitoral stimulation. And then I was like noticing that when my partner like would just turn me over in the morning and be like, it's time for sex, I was like, I just, something about it didn't feel good. And I was like, I need you to go slow. Women need like 40 minutes of like you know, like touch and foreplay to really be like ready for penetration. And then I was like, I want this from him. And then I realized in my self-pleasure practice I was just going straight to the clit. I wasn't doing it for myself. So now it's like I have a whole space and a ritual, like where I do my meditations. I also just like move everything aside and like do my practices and see it as like also a sacred practice for myself so that I can actually have that in a relationship with a partner.
That's amazing.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. And speaking of just kind of like connecting with your body and all of that, I want to touch on like, sorry, I know we're like running, but I want to touch on one last kind of topic slash thing, and it's self-love and like body positivity. And I think you made a post recently about it. I don't know if it was very recent, but I was like kind of scrolling through your page. Just like talking about your journey with self-love as it relates to body positivity. Like, how have you, I mean, I don't know you very well, but to me it seems, and like just like looking at your page and talking to you, that you're very self-confident. And I don't know if it was like a big journey for you to get to where you are today. Like, I can say for myself, I don't always like love myself as much as I wish I could right now, but I know that like I'll get there and it's ever evolving. So if you feel comfy, like just speaking on like how you got to where you are today, and maybe you're still growing, everyone's still growing, but yeah, just in terms of like self-love and specifically body positivity.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you. And yeah, I'm totally comfy, cozy talking about this. Okay. Yeah. Like, I mean, I've gone through a lot, like I said, in terms of like injuries, and I have like lots of scars. Mm. Like I grew up, I was always like very skinny, which was like glorified in the media, but like people also still made fun of me for it. And then when I gained like 30 pounds and like I felt like in a day in grade 9. And so when I gained all that weight and then I was like busting out of my jeans, I just started to hate myself. And then I had acne, which was just like terrible. That's the beginning. Mm-hmm. But over time, I have realized that it's just this, again, this standard of like, you got to be thin. You have, you know, but first it was 90s. In the 90s, it was glorified to be thin. Then now it's like glorified BBLs to be like, have a BBL. So, you know, I do feel like, you know, the confidence that I have has actually come from embracing like my imperfections and the fact that like, I'm just, you know, I don't have a BBL. I feel like I look bloated all the time, but I've also had like, I had like multiple like surgeries on my like stomach. I've had like digestive problems and then of course, like I had my spinal cord injury, and I feel like I look pretty good for having all this like physical trauma, but I see it as like my body is this like warrior vessel that has like taken me through, and I still live, and I still get to have pleasure and do yoga and dance. And it's not about what I look like. It's how I feel. Mm-hmm. And that is what makes someone truly radiant and attractive. That's to me. Like, you can be, I've ever met like a hot guy and you're like, okay, like, you look good.
Yeah.
But like their insides are kind of
ugly. Ugly, yeah.
You're just like not, you know. So anyway.
The vibes are just not there.
Yeah, the vibes are not there. So I feel like that's a part of it. And also this just loving, again, all the imperfections, being like loving my scars and like being like, okay, you know what? My boyfriend loves me. I love me.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not like perfect beauty standard. Because like, who is?
Yeah, right?
Where
so
we
true.
See it all the time, but that's not the reality. And all, again, this path of like liberation and sexual healing is loving every single part of us, even the parts that are like, oh, maybe we don't like, but we can at least love and accept and offer that part of us compassion. Like, you know, I know what post you're talking about. And that was inspired by, I was in Peru for a retreat, and a lot of the women who were there were like much younger than me, and they were so good at posing. And I just was like, I can move, but I just am not really good at posing. And I just was like, oh, my butt wasn't big enough. And like my belly was kind of like, I was terrible tan lines too. And then I realized it was like, okay, well, why am I comparing myself to these other people? Like they're beautiful. I'm beautiful. They see me as beautiful.
Yeah.
We're all here together. And when we start sizing ourselves up to others, we start to feel like small, but really like nobody is you. Like you are like the only you in the whole world. And when you can embrace that and the totality of who you are, that's true self-love. And that, again, that makes you truly radiant.
I appreciate what you said. And that kind of resonates with me because not recently, but I have phases where I literally like, I don't look like this. I don't look like how she does on social media. I don't look like the influencers. And like you, I was really skinny growing up, and I used to hear it all the time, like, eat, you're too skinny, like, eat. Right. Sam would, like, you know, Sam can kind of, whatever, she knows too, like, my grandparents are like, why are you so skinny, like, whatever. And as I got older, that subconsciously kind of lived in my mind, still sometimes lives in my mind. Like, for example, we live in an era where being thick or, like, big boobs and big butt, right? And so I have periods where I feel really low about myself, and I'm like, why don't I look like that? Or, like, what can I do to achieve that? But I think what you said, that you're beautiful in your own way and other people think you're beautiful, and like I have people who love me, and that's kind of what I can find peace in. Almost, right?
Ah, I love that you said peace. Yeah. Self-love is really being at peace with yourself.
Yeah. I agree. For me, like, just to, since we're all telling our little stories.
We're being real.
Yeah. For me, like, I feel like I've like been really into fitness like for a very long time, like weightlifting and things like that. But like, as I've gotten older, and I think it's not like an age thing. I think it's more like a life thing, like more responsibilities in life, like more shit I got to do. I can't spend as much time as I used to in the gym or whatever. And like, I'm finding new ways to like fix my fitness regimen. But like for a while I was like, I don't feel like I look like how I did when I was like super like weightlifting very heavy for 2 hours in the gym. And I was like, I was starting to get like, fuck, like, how can I get there again? But like lately I've been starting to recognize like the things that my body does take me through. And like, that's different from what I went through like back then when I can weightlift for 2 hours. Now I'm doing different things. Now I'm podcasting and my body's taking me here and there and whatever. So I'm trying to, it's hard, obviously, like sometimes you're scrolling and you're like, shit. But
yeah,
I think it's like a work in progress for me at least.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, my dear. We're all a work in progress. Yes, very true. You know, we're all trying to figure it out. And our body's changing all the time. So
that's very true.
It's like, that's like constant. Accept it. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Before we wrap up, really quick, are you allowed to say where you teach yoga or do yoga or, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I was actually in Peru and Costa Rica for 7 weeks recently. So I haven't been like teaching at a regular place until actually in May. I'll be teaching restorative yoga. It's actually just like a passion of mine. I teach because I love helping people get into a relaxed state. So that's at Oblong Yoga House. And then my partner.
I've heard that place.
Yeah. My friends they run it. They're amazing. And then my partner and I, Anthony, we host it's like monthly, bi-monthly, depending on how busy we are, an offering called Harmony. It's an acupuncture, sound, and yoga journey where we guide people through restorative yoga. We offer body work, acupuncture, blessings, and sound healing. It's super juicy. Everybody's like floating out of the room.
Oh, wow.
And then,
I'd love to go to one.
Yeah, that's at the Yoga House in the East End. And then my friend Jessica Ellithorne, who is like an amazing yoga teacher, we collaborate on an event that's like bi-monthly called Release and Rise. And the theme is like helping people release energy that they no longer need, that's no longer serving them, to just like move energy through the body and then rise into an embodied state to help them with thriving. And we recently had an event that was in a Release and Rise emotional empowerment journey. And we had people doing yoga and like shaking and screaming and punching pillows and then like crying.
Oh, I love that. Super cool.
And with yoga and intuitive movement. And then we brought people into sensuality and joy. And it was like,
And this is a bi-monthly thing.
It's a bi-monthly thing. And that is at the Yoga Space TO, which is on College and Ossington.
So, and if you guys or people watching want to find out more info, they can follow you.
Yep, absolutely.
At Gina Marie.
Yeah, so my Instagram is at Gina Daring Greatly. And then my coaching website is ginamarie.ca, if we can just plug that.
Yeah, of course. And if they're interested in coaching, that link is on your Instagram.
Yep.
Right? Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay. Amazing. I keep saying last thing, but really for real, last thing. You mentioned you went to Peru.
Yep.
I think I think this is the thing I told you about. When we didn't actually know that you, like, we didn't even know you were coming on yet. But remember when I was I saw this thing where you can go to Costa Rica or Peru or Bali. And I think it's the same thing you went to.
Like, Soul School.
Yes.
Teach there? I was a part of co-hosting the retreat in Peru. And I taught yoga. And then I also did like an emotional release and inner child and higher self like masterclass while I was there. And then part of the journey was also if people were like cleared and screened and like ready, they could sit with ayahuasca. Yeah. So have at the end of the retreat, there was the opportunity to sit with the medicine. And then prior to that, it was like all yoga, meditation.
Do you need to be like at a certain level of yoga?
No. You can be like a beginner. It's you know, yeah.
It's more just like to go there, get peace, and just kind
of. It's like a holistic healing retreat. There's yoga there, obviously, but there's so much more.
Interesting. Anyway, sorry it's super to bring transformational. That up. Very random, but
highly recommend. Come next year, I'll be there.
Yeah, no,
we were looking into it like recently,
like a couple weeks.
Yeah,
ago.
Yeah, so couple weeks ago.
Anyways, okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, you're
I feel so like
welcome.
We could definitely do another one because there were so many things that like I wanted to keep going on, but.
Yeah,
we'll do
back.
A part two if you're down.
Yeah, I would love to.
And yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You guys are amazing.
Oh, thank you. Okay, bye, guys. See you next week.